So Krishna, he is the Supreme Absolute Truth, and he's always eternally present in four forms. That of himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his internal potency, the external potency, and the jivas. So basically you have himself as the Supreme Personality and his energy. His energy is known as the Sarup Shakti or Chit Shakti, which means all energy. And then so as he is unlimited, so is his Chit Shakti. This Chit Shakti is then whatever is his mood, anything he wants to accomplish, then there is a natural companion quality or manifestation with his internal potency. So this then means that the Lord, in his expansion of his activity, then there's always the perfect manifestation, perfect situation. Because the Lord is complete in himself, but to expand on this completeness, to make this completeness more perfect, then there's the taste of interaction. Because one's state of existence may be perfect, but still, higher perfection is in the quality of interaction. Right? You're in the material environment, someone is rich, powerful, famous, has all facilities, has nice arrangements, they will consider their life is perfect. So, yes, on that level it is. But still, they're frustrated. Why? Because the level or quality of their interaction with others, or relationship, the rasa, is lacking. And so their life is a mess. Though they're well situated, right? But for Krishna, then he is perfect as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's perfect in his interaction with his potency. So this is the greater platform. So now Srimati Radharani is the form of this Sarup Shakti. And from her then everything else for Krishna's pleasure is manifesting, no matter what realm, what situation. Due to the jiva's attachment to the material world, and actually feeling that the material world has some substance on its own, the conditioned living entity is unable to appreciate the extent of Krishna's interaction with his internal potency. We will say Krishna is everything. He's everywhere, knows everything. But at the same time, is if we actually discuss this everywhere, we might have a problem. Because everything that is happening in the world, any interaction, is actually Krishna and his internal potency. There isn't anything else happening in the creation. That's all that's going on. So as Krishna is unlimited, and there's unlimited qualities and moods and desires, so there's unlimited expansion and manifestation to match everything in his internal potency. As we hear, Krishna comes to the material world and he interacts with his yoga maya. Nothing else. So that means there's a demon. He's killing this demon. What is he interacting with? The demon is an illusion. But what's Krishna interacting with? He's interacting with his internal potency. So his internal potency is manifest this form of the demon. though there's a specific jiva who has inimical feelings towards the Lord, who is occupying this situation. Right? Does this make sense? Right? One may complain, how is this possible? But do people who are unfavorable for the Lord, can they walk into a temple and stand in front of the deity? Yes or no? They can't. You've never had anyone walk into the temple that started saying all kinds of things about the deity. Let's say like New Vrindavan, they came into the temple and broke the deity. So you're saying that didn't happen. We understand? So they're dealing with illusion. Because when we say the Sarup Shakti, it means she is everything. Now you see her in connection with the Lord, then you see Yoga Maya. You're seeing the internal potency. You're not seeing her in connection with the Lord, you see the external potency. Does it make sense? We sometimes, how is this possible? It goes on every day in your life. A girl is in at home, let's say, with her husband. And so the moods flow very naturally, very comfortably. That intimacy, that closeness, everything like that. The gestures, the moods in the eye, the moods in the face. Right? Any problem? No. Now let us say you take this girl and her husband into public. Right? Now, naturally, it will be reduced a bit, its manifestation, but is the feelings any less? No. So now, feelings are there, and, you know, some eye contact, some interaction is there to a slight degree that's not going to be a disturbance to anyone else. Now let's say a very close family friend comes up, right? Then the mood of the girl will be very similar, but it will adjust for someone who's not the husband, right? Now let us say that she notices on the side is there's some guy standing there that's, you know, looking at her and, you know, trying to enjoy her physical beauty. What's the mood? That of just like the husband? Oh, the husband thinks I'm beautiful, and now this guy thinks I'm beautiful. Or does she close down the energies and manifest a very different mood? Now, here's the question. Is it a different girl? So that's the internal potency and external potency. You see that girl in connection with the Lord, you're dealing with internal potency. You don't see that girl in connection with the Lord, then that's external potency. But the Sarup Shakti is one, right? And as Krishna, he has his different moods. He'll be in Vrindavan. He'll manifest in one way, in Vaikuntha in another way. It's the same person. The difference is simply the mood. One place, he's God. So he deals with them as God. Another place, he's their friend or their child or their lover. So he deals in that way. Same person. So he, therefore, because these elements are eternally manifest, he has two different forms to fulfill these two different feelings. But it's still the same person. So in the same way, the Yoga Maya and the Mahamaya, though they're the same person, they have two manifestations. So Mahamaya is here, taking care of, you know, our needs. And she's in the spiritual world, taking care of those who actually care about Krishna. Does this make sense? So that means everything that's going on is her. As Krishna enters into everything, she is also manifesting that everything. Does that make sense? So the situations that there are, right? The element means the elements within that situation. What you can do with those elements in that situation, results you can get, what are the activities that can be done, that is Lakshmi, right? what you're trying to obtain through that, that's Krishna. So that means from that extent up to their pastimes in Vrindavan, that's what Radharani does with Krishna. Just as Krishna expands into everything, Krishna expands into Dwarka, then into Vaikuntha, then into the Purusha avatars in this world, and then in the universal form. Right? Virat. Virat means this half man, half woman. So the half man is Krishna's qualities, the half woman is his, the internal potencies, manifestations to bring out those qualities. Right? Then Brahma is born from that. Right? Right? The lotus, that's Virat. Brahma is born from the lotus. Right? So this universal form is Krishna. But it means Krishna and his internal potency. Now, we don't see it in relationship to Krishna, therefore, that's what we call Maya. Right? So now one may ask, no, but then there's the eternal spiritual nature and the temporary material nature. Yes. Right? Do you have different parts of your body? Do you have a head and have feet? Do they exist simultaneously? So, the Surup Shakti, there is the spiritual manifestation, there's the material manifestation. But the point is it's the same person. You see it in relationship to Krishna, then you get the benefit of the spiritual. You don't, you won't. Make sense? Right? So, like this, Radharani is able to expand and take care of every aspect of Krishna, because being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that's not something ordinary. So she is able to, she has a perfect counterpart for every aspect of Krishna. So there's nothing that you're not dealing with that's not Krishna and his internal potency. You don't understand that, that's where your illusion is, that's where you're dealing with Maya. So that's how great personality, they come into this world, they see Krishna everywhere. Right? They don't see any illusion. There is no illusion. Because illusion is illusion. It means you think it's not, therefore it's illusion. But the reality is, it's not that. Right? We say, Prabhupada said, Maya means that which is not. So you're thinking it's not connected to Krishna, that's the illusion. Because it is connected to Krishna. You understand that, there's no illusion. But, difficulty comes is that if one doesn't appreciate that there is the principle of this illusion, and how people are interacting with Krishna's energy in illusion, then how will you preach? Therefore, the Uttamadhikari will take the position of the Madhyama and make these distinctions. But, it's not that it's all not connected to Krishna. That's how, in any situation, they can see everything connected to Krishna. And they're able to take any situation and connect it to Krishna. Through our philosophy, through Bhagavat, through Vedanta, not through some modern mumbo-jumbo. It's direct, clean, clear philosophy. It's Krishna anyway. But one's thinking, no, we'll you know, hide the Krishna consciousness, you know, through the yoga and then through there, then we'll slowly kind of bring them around. When we think that they're not going to walk out on us and discuss, we might bring up the concept of a mantra. We might even do a kirtan. Hey, you know, but we wouldn't want to do like the other groups who, they invite them to a, you know, kirtan program where they walk in directly and the first thing to do is sit down and chant Hare Krishna. We wouldn't do that because that's too direct. We wouldn't want them to know we're Hare Krishnas. So this is called Maya. Because the yoga system, anything you do there, even you're trying to be pleasant and nice, that's still Krishna. How is it working if it's not Krishna? You have power to get anything done? You have that potency? You can move material energy as you please. So how is it working? Why is there such a concept of you're going to, people are going to come, you're going to open with something to make them feel comfortable and identify. What are you doing? You're giving them an identity. You're giving them a relation, showing who you are, who they are, what your relationship is, what you're going to do. You're showing them the experience. Now, is that not Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojan, or what is it? It's something different? It's an illusion to think no matter what you're doing, it's not connected with Krishna. Why are we bringing this up? Because we're trying to show how great Srimati Radharani is. Otherwise, you know, we come, we hear the little pastime, we're inspired and all that, and then we go back home. And then we start our politics and our mundanity, right? But the point is you're still dealing with Srimati Radharani. But because you don't see it that way, yes, she manifests to you as Mahamaya. But it doesn't have to be like that. So just as she sees Krishna everywhere, the residents of Braja see Krishna everywhere. Why, it's not a tree? There are no trees in Vrindavan, but still, they see Krishna everywhere. Because they see the tree in connection with Krishna. Reminds them of Krishna's color, reminds them of his pastimes, reminds them of things they could do for Krishna. Make a nice arrangement and sit under the tree, or pick some fruits and flowers. Does this make sense? So there must be a foundation, otherwise we want to be very careful, it's not just sentiment. Because Srimati Radharani is a bit too sacred for that, right? So, she simply is trying to serve Krishna all day. That's all she does. There's nothing she's not doing that's connected to Krishna. And pastimes are manifest, one, because that's what they do all day. And two, so that we can become absorbed in them. By becoming absorbed, then we can adjust our life in the same principle, in the same way, so that we're always absorbed in Krishna. Right? In the morning, then they will wake up Srimati Radharani. And when she gets up, she will be thinking of Krishna. Means what pastimes they have done. Right? What was there in the past. But because Krishna and his name, form, quality and pastimes are non-different from him, then thinking of him in the past is the present. So he's there. It's not different. This is the meaning in Brahma Samhita where it says there is no time. There's a sense of past, present, and future. But because it's all about Krishna, you're only dealing with the present. Right? But there's a sense of these things. Here, there is, because you consider things with dead matter. So thinking of dead matter, that manifestation that you're thinking of is not there anymore. But Krishna's internal potency interacting in that way, that's always going on. That's always happening. Why is it, okay, Romeo and Julia, how long have they been dead? Right? Some hundreds of years. But people can think about that story and get feelings. Why? Because those feelings are still going on, the eternal interaction between Krishna's eternal potency. But it manifests through that form. But the illusion is you think it's Romeo and Juliet that generates it. No, it's Krishna and his yoga maya. So that's always there. It's eternal. But we think it's them. Rather than from that potency going up to Radha and Krishna, we bring it down to some boy and girl. And not only that, a dead boy and girl. You know? Like that. What's the fun of that, right? You know? I mean, maybe if you're a goth, yeah, okay, it has some meaning, you know? But if you're not, then what's the point? So, she's thinking of Krishna, what pastimes they have performed. Then they will prepare for her bath. They'll make all nice arrangements, right? The clothes she'll wear, proper water, proper temperature of the water. proper scent, you know, of the water, things to brush the teeth. She'll brush her teeth with a twig because it makes the teeth very white. There's nothing that'll make your teeth as white as a twig. So she uses that, cleans her tongue, rinses her mouth many times. So all this so that she will be fresh and nice for Krishna. Right? If you wonder where these rules come on how you wash your mouth, how you clean your tongue, how you brush your teeth, it comes from what Radharani does every day. And we'll go, oh, all these rules. Yeah, strange. The rules came from her. So then after that, they'll dress her very nicely, nice clothes, various kinds of unguents, these very, it means sandalwood paste mixed with different things, different fragrances, colors, different designs are drawn on her body. Then ornaments are put, her hair is decorated, her clothes are put, and then after that, then you show a mirror. So then she sees everything's been arranged very beautifully, so she gets very excited that, you know, how Krishna is going to be happy seeing this. Right? And so she appreciates the beauty. But she's not thinking, she know, and it's her that's beautiful. But she's not thinking, wow, don't I look great today? She's thinking, oh, how much will Krishna appreciate this? How much will this make Krishna happy? Right? So here, regular old things that everybody does in connection to Krishna. Right? Then after that, then she's ready, then she will go to Nandagaon because of the blessing of Durvasa Muni, that anything she cooks will be like nectar and whoever eats it will always be healthy, their life will be lengthened. So Mother Jashoda has made an arrangement, of course, much to the dismay of Jatila, but that Radharani will come and cook for Krishna. So then they will go, walk from where she is at Javat or Barshana, and they'll walk towards Nandagaon. So in between there's some forest, so all the girls will be walking, they're talking, joking, laughing. So there's a very nice relationship. They're devotees. They're able to interact. They're not political. They're not trying to be better than each other because they all know Radharani's the best and they're all just trying to serve. And she is a servant, so she's just thinking how to best serve. So she serves and she engages others. And because they are engaged, she appreciates that. She recognizes that and sees them as servants. So in this way, then she and her friends, then they all go to Nandagaon. While they're walking, then the cloth from the head falls off, you know, because they're just laughing and joking. And they're amongst themselves and there's no one else around. As soon as they come to the gates of Nandagaon, then, you know, instead of being so bold and walking down the middle of the, you know, path and that taking up all the space and laughing, now they'll take the cloth again, cover their head, be shy, look down, move to the side of the road, walk along the walls. So despite modern academic tomfoolery, the covering of the head comes from Braj. You like it or don't, hey, that's up to you. It's from Vrindavan, not from Vaikuntha, not from the material world, and definitely not from the Muslims. Like that. You want to take it that way? Hey, be my guest. You want to remember Aurangzeb? Then that's your, you know, consciousness. But in Vrindavan, they cover their head. It's a Braj thing. You don't like Braj? Hey, do something else. So then they walk in, they come in, they get close to Nandagaon, and then Krishna, knowing that they'll be coming, He's waiting on the side there just before his house with Maru Mangal. And Maru Mangal will have a golden garland so that when Radharani and her group walks by, Maru Mangal will very blatantly take this garland and place it around Krishna's neck. And so, you know, it's just giving a garland to Krishna. But the point is that the garland's golden. Golden Radharani's golden. So it represents Radharani embracing Krishna. So then they'll get embarrassed. Right? They're in a public place, so they'll get embarrassed. At the same time, they'll appreciate, but being left-wing, they'll get angry. Left-wing means what's obvious, you get angry about. And what's not obvious, that's expected that you're going to figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, you're not smart enough. You're not worth your while. So then they'll go inside, they'll meet Mother Jashoda. They'll offer their obeisances, she'll embrace them, make them, you know, give all kinds of blessings and be very happy that they've come. Then they will, the arrangements will be made to go to the kitchen. They will light 100 fires, the cow dung fires. So that takes quite an expertise to be able to coordinate cooking on 100 fires. Right? We have trouble cooking on 2 or 3. Like that. I mean, I remember seeing Hansa Duda, he could cook on 6. Like that. But Radharani can cook on 100. So while she's getting ready, then one of the maidservants will point out to Radharani from a particular corner, from a particular angle, they'll be able to see Krishna in some relaxed situation, sitting somewhere. So Radharani would be very pleased with this. So as she takes off all different ornaments, you know, because Krishna has seen them, then she will give those to that assistant as a gift, right, of her appreciation. So even just revealing to her Krishna for a moment, she's unlimitedly grateful, right? She doesn't have this concept that unless I'm there personally doing it, I get no benefit. That comes from the mundane mentality, that if it's not manifest in dead matter, it doesn't have any reality. Right? But for her, even a glimpse of Krishna is considered to be of great value. So then she'll cook, they'll make all kinds of arrangements. Rohini will also be in there. Between them, they will arrange things. And then after then, everything's ready, Krishna will sit with his cowherd boys, his friends. They will sit and they will eat. Rohini will serve, some of the other assistants will serve, but Radharani won't. Right? This is what I'm meaning. You'll see. She doesn't do anything directly like this. Anything in the public, she just doesn't do. So she'll stand behind the jolly. You know, the curtains are there. And she will peek through and watch how Krishna's eating, what he likes, doesn't like, his interactions. Right? Rohini will expertly serve. Right? Because if you cook something nice and people don't know how to serve, it's useless. And serving, much to contrary opinion, is not for either the purpose of getting things served quickly so that you can sit down and eat, or that it's a medium for you to get as much emotional interaction out of the person you're serving as possible. Serve them the thing. You want? Oh. More? Like this. It drives you nuts. It's a time of eating, but people want to suck as much emotional juice out of it as they can. Otherwise, why would they be doing it, right? Devotion means you do it to please the other person. But we're talking here hardcore karma kanda. I'm going to get something for this, or I'm not going to do it. Right? Otherwise, I could be eating. Right? So Rohini is not like that, fortunately. So she just serves nicely, and Radharani watches and is able to appreciate how, you know, Krishna's liking each preparation and interacting. And then sometimes for a joke, then he'll even take a preparation, one of the special ones that she makes, because she makes these five preparations for Krishna, Amrita Kali and others. And she'll make these throughout the day at different pastimes. So then one will be there, and then he'll pick it up. And it's known as Krishna's favorite, but he'll pick it up and he'll take a bite and he'll make a face as if it's like absolutely disgusting. So he'll put it down and he'll give it to a friend next to him. You know, you don't like it, you give it to your friend, right? You know, isn't that how it works, right? Like that. So then Radharani be upset, and because all gopis are there, it's not just Radharani's group, then the groups that are rivals to Radharani, they will see this and they will start smiling because, oh, Radharani made a bad preparation, so this is something that they will use to their advantage later, right? Because she didn't do something nice to Krishna. But then the friend will pick it up and he'll eat it and then go into ecstasy, right? So then you know it was fabulous, just Krishna. It was a plan, one, to just harass Radharani, and two, to give benefit to his friend. And so then Radharani will use that to benefit later to harass Krishna. So like this, the morning pastime will go on. Krishna will finish eating. After eating, then he goes and takes some rest. So there's a place that he goes to that I think, according to Ayurveda, if you take, I think it's 100 steps or 72 steps, 100 steps after eating, it's good for digestion. So Nanda Baba's arranged that there's a place where there's two beds for Krishna and Balaram that are exactly 100 steps from where they ate. So they take the 100 steps and then they take their rest. During that time, then there's also, because it's a hill, Nandagaon, there are also caves. So just under the palace, there are some caves. During that time, there's an arrangement that after, you know, Krishna Balaram are resting and all that, and everybody's happy and they've gone to do their duties, then Krishna gets up, conveniently gets up, leaves, and meets Srimati Radharani in that cave under Nandagaon. So they're able to spend a few moments together. Because the quality of interaction in public is always so reduced that it's kept at that level. They never try to go beyond. So full manifestation of interaction is done in a private situation where the situation is just those who are connected with that mood. Otherwise, if there's mixes of moods, it's a different preparation, right? If you have salty, sweet, sour, hot, you mix it together, you know, is it a salty preparation? Is it just that? Or is it a sweet preparation? You know, is it, you know, what is it? No, it's a chutney. Nice, but everything has to be balanced. The amount of sweetness in a chutney is not as much as a sweet. You understand? So, therefore, it's different. It has its own flavor, but it's different. Then after this, then, Krishna will go to the fields. All the residents of Vrindavan will meet Krishna at the gate. And the cows and others are waiting outside. All the animals that have spent the night outside in the trees around Nandagaon are ready to go back to the fields. And so Mother Jashoda is there and worried why Krishna is going, why can't Nanda Baba do all these things. But Balaram and the other older cowherd boys convince her that we'll take care, because they take swords and shields and all kinds of weaponry so that she'll feel he'll be safe. And at the same time, the gopis are there. And then Krishna leaves for the fields. So he goes. Cowherd boys are very happy. They have their pastimes. And then Srimati Radharani and company, they go home, make various arrangements. They do some household duties. And then they leave their house for various duties in the forest to meet Krishna for the noon pastimes. So Krishna and Balaram are with the cowherd boys. Krishna will leave with his intimate friends, and Balaram and the others will continue their pastimes. And then they'll meet again at Radhakund. So at Radhakund, then we see in coming there'll always be the element of bringing them together, the actual main body of the pastime, and the conclusion. Everything works in this way. You want to do anything, you have to prepare for it. There's the activity, and then there must be the closing of it. There's nothing that doesn't work like that. Right? Of course, men try to be very efficient and cut those things out, but that's actually nature, because that's the way energy works. So this is what makes the pastime. And that's why Krishna manifests as Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. Because Radharani is in those moods. Remember the principle in rasa of Ashray and Vishay, that Krishna is rasa. Right? Raso vai saha. He is rasa. He's a, Prabhupada says, a reservoir of rasa. So that means, depending upon the devotee's mood, you draw that from Krishna. Mother Yashoda draws from Krishna the mood of being her son. The cowherd boys draw the mood of being their friend. Right? Srimati Radharani draws the mood that is the most intimate elements of Krishna's attraction, or his pastimes, or that love. So that's Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan. So the reason that we are able to appreciate and see Krishna in these three forms is because that's her mood towards her attraction towards Krishna, her love for Krishna, and her interactiveness with Krishna. And because that's so unique, then we see that's why Krishna even takes those moods to appreciate them, because he's not Ashray, he's Vishay, he's the enjoyer, not the enjoyed. So as Lord Chaitanya, he takes these moods. And that manifests the pastimes. The attraction of all living entities to Krishna, the Sankirtan movement, that's because of Radharani's attraction to Krishna that Lord Chaitanya is giving to the living entities. Right? That cultivation of the mood of serving Krishna, right? Because of her mood to always serve Krishna and engage everybody in that intimacy and develop that love for Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has given that association of devotees in which the Lord's pastimes are discussed, so that in that association one can develop one's personal mood, or let's say one's personal love for Krishna, which is the ultimate goal, right? Which is Radharani's ultimate love for Krishna. We can assist in that. So this is what Lord Chaitanya gives. What is he giving? He's giving the three moods of Srimati Radharani. Right? Does that make sense? And people who don't fully understand this sit around and only worry about Gopinath. But there's no love if you're not attracted. And unless you manifest that love through activity and interaction, how do you know the love exists? So without all three, it's not complete. Therefore, our deities are Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan. But the deities are that because those are Radharani's moods. She has drawn these moods from Krishna. You understand? This is why she's known as Guru. Right? Because all this is going on from her. the activities we do in a day, they're based on what she does. Right? The Pancharatra is based on what activities she does for Krishna all day. But you put it into a neutral state so that somebody that doesn't have love for Krishna can do it. That's called the Pancharatra. Their mood that they're doing all day for Krishna, that's called Bhagavat. So they're always remembering Krishna, chanting his glories, hearing about Krishna. Right? But the form of what they're doing, that's what you see reflected in Pancharatra. So simply you take what they're doing in Braj and make it available that someone who has no idea who Radha and Krishna are and probably couldn't even care less can still take part. But it's still the same activities. And then we'll sit around and grumble about doing these activities. Because we think they came out of some book somewhere that we never heard of in our life. Right? McDonald's, yeah, we've heard of them. You know, KFC, yeah, we've heard of that. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam, didn't hear about it until we became devotees. Right? If I told you, okay, McDonald's, you have to walk in there, you have to go up to the counter, you have to make your order. After placing your order, you have to give them money. Only after you give them the money, then after a certain amount of time, they're going to give you your order. Will anyone disagree? But why is it we agree to that set of rules so readily that that's the way it is? No, if I just say, no, you just go in there and just you sit down at the table and they'll know what you want and just bring it to you. You know, because it's spontaneous. You know, we have to be, you know, all the... Is it going to happen? Everyone will say, you're an idiot. It's not going to work. So something like that, we're so fixed on the rules. No, it's got to be that way. But you bring out the rules we've never heard about before. Until we come to Krishna consciousness. No, oh, well, I'll change. I don't like it that way. Why do I have to do that? But remember, all those things came from Srimati Radharani. Because of her love for Krishna. That's why it's manifest. You want to develop the mood she has? You follow him. You don't. Hey, there's a great cosmic creation out there that's got a spot for everybody. Like that. So then there's a meeting. There'll be where Radha and Krishna first meet. So that will be the pastime of Madan Mohan, where they are able to express their attraction to each other, the freshness, because Krishna is ever expanding. There's always something fresh. Radharani, therefore, as he expands, she expands. So then there's always something new and fresh, even though they've just seen each other just a few hours before. It's different. Then there'll be the main body of their pastimes, walking through the six-season forest where all six seasons are there. Swing pastimes, you know, joking and laughing, playing pastimes in Radha Kund, splashing water, singing songs, then taking snacks, taking some rest. And all this will take them to the mid-afternoon, where then, again, Krishna will go back to the cowherd boys, and Radharani and her girls will go home. So then Krishna, it's time to bring the cows back, so they'll come back. Then the different devotees who have been taking care of Srimati Radharani because of the feelings of separation in the morning. The touch was very, more of a distance. So the feelings are, though very important, won't have the intensity of the noontime pastimes. So they're able to function, but because in the afternoon, it's after lunch, everybody rests anyway. Then Radharani has to be placed on a bed of lotus stems, freshly picked. Right? Lotus is very cooling. And that's covered with sandalwood paste. I mean, not just, you know, dipped with a little, what do you call those? Gadas? Marigolds. You know, I mean, this is like, you know, covered. And she'll lay on that, and in a moment it will dry up. The fever of separation is so great. So her absorption in Krishna is constant. It's so deep. So then Krishna will be coming back, so then some clever assistants will arrange that to bring her so that she can see Krishna. And from, you know, some place on the path in the bushes or from the rooftop, depending upon the situation, then she'll be able to see Krishna. And Krishna will always be looking for her. His intimate friends will point out where Radharani is. Radharani's friends will point out where Krishna is. They'll see each other. So they'll be so absorbed that they'll become stunned. So after that, then Krishna's friends have to actually physically carry him because he can't move. And Radharani will have seen, and after some time they'll go back to their places. So Krishna will go home. Then when he goes home, then because he's going home, Radharani now is inspired. She's seen Krishna, so she will go into the kitchen. Again, she will cook all kinds of amazing preparations. And they'll be divided into two parts. One is for sending to Nandagaon for his dinner, and the other is for being kept for the pastimes at night. So then some of her assistants will take those preparations to Nandagaon, and then while Mother Jashoda is making arrangements for dinner and everything, then Radharani's maidservants, they'll bathe Krishna, dress him, and naturally, because of their mood, their assistants, Radharani, he'll give them plenty of trouble. He won't let them dress him. They'll put something on, he'll throw it off. He'll make all kinds of trouble, so then Mother Jashoda will come and then say, you know, the time is enough time to dress, and you're not able to dress. You girls are not very competent, you know, you're still too young. So in this way, Krishna will make them upset. And then they'll make these arrangements, and then they'll come back to Radharani's place, where she'll hold court. So all her associates will sit, they'll discuss things about Krishna, they'll sing songs, they'll interact, they'll discuss the different things that happen during the day, they'll make plans, like this. And so while all this is going on, it's very wonderful, everyone loves the association, but those who are more intimate then will make arrangements for her to take rest. Because they know she wants to be with Krishna. The others are very happy being with her and her interacting. She's happy also. The more happy will be to be with Krishna. So then they come and they put her to bed. And Krishna will have had his dinner. There have been entertainment, everything. He'll have taken rest. And then having taken rest and everybody is asleep, then they'll all sneak out. And they'll go to wherever is the previously arranged spot to meet. Generally at Govardhan or Govindastali. So then, when the time is there, Radharani, your friends will dress, they'll go through the Jamuna, they'll be holding Radharani, because out of anticipation, it's very difficult to move, they'll bring her there. So first she'll meet Krishna. While she's meeting Krishna, then the others will go make arrangements for the rasa dance. And though they're having a very nice arrangement, they're together, then, and the different gopis are, you know, doing different services, fanning them and them, they're very happy doing this. Then Rupa will come and tell them, leave that, and make arrangements for bringing flowers and that. So they'll do that, and they'll dress Radharani again as she was before meeting Krishna, so that when Lalita comes back from arranging for the rasa dance, she'll have expected Radha and Krishna have been together, and it will look as if they weren't. So this is part of the fun. And then it'll move from then the aspect of Madan Mohan into Govinda, where it will be the pastimes of the rasa dance. So Krishna and Radharani and all the gopis will dance. All the maidservants, they will play the various musical instruments and sing. creating the environment. And when that's over, then arrangements will be made for them all to take rest, where then Radha and Krishna will go. They will spend the night together. Then after they wake up in the morning, then they will have Mangalartik. So Radha and Krishna will sit, and the gopis, Lalita, will offer artik. All the other gopis will sing songs and that. And this will go on for some time. The sun will start to rise. I mean, you start to see the red in the distance. Vrinda's getting a little worried. Others are, you know, everyone's absorbed in the interaction. Radha and Krishna don't want to part after having been together for the night. But then at some point, then it's getting too late. No one's moving. So then Vrinda will send in one of her monkeys, and the monkeys will be shouting, Jatila is coming. So immediately Radha and Krishna, without a further moment of thought, just get up and bolt and run in their different directions towards Nandagraun or towards Java. And they run all the way back, you know, get into their bed and, you know, fall asleep because they've been up all night. And then Jatila will come, Nandi Muki, who is Madhu Mangal's sister, and Purnamasi will come, and sometimes also Radharani's grandmother. And they'll come, and because they were sitting together, when they get up, they will just grab some cloth, put it on, and run off. But in the process, Radharani has picked up Krishna's golden cloth, and Krishna has picked up Radharani's blue cloth. So when the various groups of parents come to wake them in the morning, they will find that they're wearing the wrong chadar. So then, for Radharani, then it will be pointed out that, you know, you're saying it's Krishna's. No, it's because of the... And she'll open the window and show, no, it's just because the sun's coming in golden, so you think that it's that color, but actually it's not. And with Krishna, then they'll think, oh, it's Balaram's chadar, right? So in this way, then, the day again starts, and then the same basic formula of pastimes, so always something new, different, and fresh will be there. So that's the point. Krishna being the supreme male, then he's always creating something that will be fresh and will be new. And Radharani has some complement for that. So in this way, then, the two of them are always expanding their pastimes and always including all the devotees, because if the devotees are included, then it's greater. Means she being the complete whole, if anyone other than her is interacting with Krishna, Krishna will only manifest a part of his personality. In other words, how much of his potency they're manifesting is how much of his personality will be manifest. Does that make sense? So the jiva being very small, then Krishna will manifest that much. But Radharani is complete. So she manifests her moods that will draw from Krishna the full range of everything that is there in his moods. So that's complete. But now, because the living entities are expanded and they're individually conscious, so that means you have her mood plus the mood of the devotees. Does that make sense? So even though it's complete with Radharani, then it's complete plus the devotees. But if you have the devotees without Radharani, then even though it's connected to Krishna, so it's perfect and complete, its completeness is not as great as if it's with Srimati Radharani. Therefore, everything we do is through Srimati Radharani. Otherwise, it will be pleasing to Krishna, but it won't be as pleasing. Therefore, the devotees are always trying to see how to get Radharani with Krishna and to assist in those pastimes. That then is the full perfection. Any questions or comments?
They tell Guru Maharaj represent Krishna, but perhaps I think perhaps he represented more Radharani, no? Because we can ask nothing directly to Krishna. We cannot ask nothing directly to Krishna. Through Radharani, we can ask something to Krishna. Entonces, when you stay speaking, I stay thinking, it's the same, no? Only we can ask something to Krishna through Radharani, and it's the same. We cannot ask nothing to Krishna, it's not through to Guru Maharaj. It's like this? I don't know, I can never hear, but only I think this.
Means our connection to Krishna is through Srimati Radharani, and our connection to Radharani is through Rupa Goswami, and our connection to Rupa Goswami is through the previous Acharyas, and our connection to the previous Acharyas then is through Srila Prabhupada. Right? So when we're properly connected to Srila Prabhupada's line, then we are approaching through them. It doesn't mean you can't directly pray to Krishna or pray to Radharani, but you're not actually, your position, your relationship is not direct. Does that make sense? Yeah, it means your relationship with your grandfather is not direct, it's through your father, but you can directly interact with your grandfather. But the relationship is based upon your father. So in the same way as one can pray to Krishna, pray to Radharani, but you're doing it as the servant of your spiritual master in the parampara. Right? Does that make sense?
Another question is, you tell we can assist Radharani making any service for Krishna. But my question is, if I serve Lord Nisimhadev, also I assist Radharani for serve Krishna, or in this case no?
Do you ask Radharani to serve Krishna?
No. My question is, because my service is for Lord Nisimhadev, when I make any service for Lord Nisimhadev, I assist Radharani also, or in this case no?
Do we ask Radharani if we can perform nice service for Nisimhadev? Is that what you're asking? By serving the Nisimhadev, are we assisting Radharani? Yeah, because the point is who's Nisimhadev? It's Krishna, but it's in that mood. So therefore, Radharani wants to see that Krishna is worshipped.
When I think in Lord Nisimhadev, I don't think in Krishna.
It's not a matter of offense, it's just a matter of that's who it is. But one of Krishna's 64 qualities is the ability to be able to dress in such a way that no one can tell who he is. So it's one of the pastimes he does.
Are there different manifestations of Krishna in the spiritual world, having these different pastimes, a little bit different each one, so forth? How is that going on?
How are millions of gopis having a pastime with Krishna? means you have, means what we've discussed here is your, I can't remember what's the difference, you have the precaution vilas, different expansions. So one means this, it's Krishna, he expands, but the mood is different. You know, like Ramachandra, Balaram, or the other is that it's exactly him. Like in the Rasa dance, and Krishna expands, and he's in between each gopis, but in the same mood, same flavor of what's happening at that time. So you have that aspect. So in the Maharas, then all these different groups will be together at once. That's why it's the Maharas. But otherwise, generally, for, you know, to bring out the fullness of the intimacy, then Radharani will move in a smaller group, right? So Rupa Goswami explains that there's 5,000 to 6,000 maidservants, right? Your main personalities are always the same, the Astasaki and other friends. So within that group will be how the interaction is going on. But it doesn't mean that like this, there's not unlimited groups. Like there's unlimited gopis, so there's unlimited expansions of Radha and Krishna, who are, therefore Goloka is 51% of the spiritual world, right? Because there's so much going on. Does that make sense? Yeah, so, but at the same time is, you do have times when all these different groups come together. You know, that's the Maharas, you know, so all these different, they come. So it becomes very big. But there'll still only be, you know what I'm saying? It's subtle. So the point is experience means an environment generates an experience. So an environment is important because an activity has to be done in an environment. But the environment's only value is what can be performed and therefore generate what experience. So in the material world, let's say, in the spiritual world, therefore if the environment is generating the experience, the focus is on that. The focus is only on the environment enough to deal with the pastime. Right? How much is required? But here, we get overly involved in it. You know, the environment itself takes on its own life and value. You know, just the quality of the environment that, oh, you have this, oh, you got a new iPad and this and that and going on. And so your whole relationship is about the iPad, but there's no actually relationship between the two people. Right? But there, something in the environment is only there to assist the interaction between the people. So even though it's so fabulous, no one's distracted by it. Right? It's like, let's say, in Nandagaon, in the walls, I think it's Nandagaon. Whatever, it's one of either Nandagaon, Barshana, like that. I think maybe it's Barshana. They have in the walls, then they have these carved emerald parrots. So one emerald carved into a parrot, and it's so lifelike that just as there's a little, you know, stick coming out of the wall that parrot's on, there's other sticks there. Real parrots will come and sit down next to the emerald parrot and start talking to them. And so the gopis and, you know, Krishna, they just laugh. It's amusing that the real parrot thinks the solid emerald parrot's real. But like if it was us, there's a good chance that laughing at the parrot, that's the side thing. We'd be going up and checking out the parrot, you know, taking pictures and, you know, checking, you know, how much we could get for it at Sotheby's and, you know, stuff like that, you know, like that. So then for them the environment is only what adds to the flavor of interaction. So even though it's so fabulous, it's not brought out so much. That's one of the differences, main difference between the material world and spiritual world. The material world, the place is so important. in the spiritual world, the place is important because of its ability to generate certain flavors and rasa. But we also see is that in Vaikuntha, because of the rules and regulations, and Krishna being God, that you want high quality environment in which to serve. So still the focus is on serving, but there will be a lot of discussion about the high grade environment that will create it. So that's why you have the discussion between, I think, Swarup Damodar and Srivas Pandit about how Vaikuntha is so wonderful in that, and Vrindavan is just, you know, a place, some sticks and some cows and grass. And so Swarup Damodar points out to Srivas that, but those sticks and cows and grass, those cows are Sarabi cows. Anything that you want, you can get. Those trees are desire trees. The dust is Chintamani. So, and one grain of dust of Vrindavan can produce all the opulence of Vaikuntha. But the difference is in Vaikuntha, the devotees are amazed at the greatness of God and the greatness of his environment, but in Vrindavan, nobody cares. Desire tree is valuable because you can go and get some fruits for Krishna. So even though the opulence and the environment is way beyond the facility of any other realm, nobody's distracted by it. They're completely fixed on Krishna. So in this way, is nobody really worries about or notices, like, you know, Vrindavan's so great, but in a few moments, it's the rasa of leaving Nandagaon and that, and then the rasa of entering into the forest that's important. The walk in between isn't important. So therefore, the lotus will open and close, so they'll leave Nandagaon, and then the lotus will close. As soon as that taste is over, the lotus will close, and then they're in the forest of Vrindavan, and it'll open again, and then that distance is there. But for them, it's just happened in a moment. No one goes, hey, that was quick. Because it's just going from one aspect of rasa to the next. So they don't worry about those things. So one has one's associates, one's environment, one's services. So whether there's only a few thousand people involved, devotees involved, or whether there's millions, it doesn't really matter. So it's just what is actually the arrangement Yogamaya has made to please Krishna according to his mood at the time. So that's basically what's going on. So it's very fluid. All those things can be happening at once. And because no one's distracted by environment or by mystic powers or these things, it doesn't disturb them. They don't worry about space. We have to, I want, you know, to close the window, I have to go over there. Right? Or if I'm a yogi, I can actually make my arm longer. My arm will get long, go over there, I can sit here and close the window. But that's a bit strange, you know, having a real long arm, you know. So in Vaikuntha, I mean in the spiritual world, there's no time and space. Therefore, you can see it, your hands here, that's there, there's no space. You just close the window. You can just close the window. But your hand hasn't gotten longer. There's no space. But there's the sense of space. You know, so that nobody gets distracted by these things and go, wow, check that out. You know, and it's just, nobody cares. You know what I mean? It's like, if nobody cares Krishna's God, then why should they care about these other things? You know, it's kind of like, does that make sense? Yeah. So like that, it all works out. Okay, so we'll end here. And Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimati Radharani ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.